You know, sometimes your preacher, you don't know if you're preaching the right message or not. You study, you pray, you try to allow the Lord to lead you. And then the last song he sung, just amen my message this morning. So I thank the Lord for that. Just before the message, we have a couple of great friends of ours that Rhonda and I have known for 25 years, I guess, since 93, and they are our missionaries we support that is in Spain, Brother Doug and Patty Chamberlain. They're with us today, and they're going to come and share with us before the message this morning, and these are some great folks, got a great family. They've served the Lord in many, many capacities. They've allowed the Lord to use them in a lot of different areas, and I've always had a lot of respect for them. And they have everything all settled out, good jobs, everything going good, and they'll just up and take off to another country. So, but I love them, appreciate them so much, Doug and Patty Chamberlain. If y'all come at this time, ask them to sing. They said to quit doing that. So.
We just wanted to stop in to say thank you to the church for standing with us as we work in Spain, and we do truly appreciate your prayers and your support. And I do believe that God is blessing your efforts, and as you work alongside us here at Stateside, we wanted to share with you, as we're traveling through, just a little bit about how God is just opening doors and blessing us so much. And I do believe it is a God thing, and I hope that I'll be able to share this very quickly as time permits. First, I want to tell you about our schools where we're working at. This year, we have 12 graduating seniors, and I want you to know that these 12 young men and women, all going to universities, spread across the world. Christians, strong Christians, educated. It just blesses my heart. It just gives me chills. I wish you could meet these 12 young kids, I call them kids, that are going out into the world from this school. It's just a pleasure to be working at the school. With that, I'll just refresh your memories. ECA is a missionary school for all of our missionary families, a lot of them working in and around Madrid. Not all the missionaries are working in Madrid. We had two boys in our home that were missionaries, and I'll tell you a little bit about the people that God has put into my life through this past 2 years. And my job at the school also is a librarian, and I work to purchase their books, do library classes for the elementary school, and I'm also on a big project right now, redoing their complete library. And if you've never done that, it is a very big job. We have a need, and I'll put that out to the church. If anybody here would like to join us in this project, we need some skilled carpenters to come. Any time would be, even when a school is going on this year, we just need someone to help us because we are trying to cut down our old bookcases that we have. They're made of wood. We'd like to rework these bookcases and rework our area a little bit so that we have more space. So that's a need I'd like you to pray about and help me in this project if you can. If there's anybody in here that would like to come to Spain to just work on our bookcases, we'd appreciate that. And we also boarded two boys this past year, 2 years, and they both graduated now. Walid is from Morocco. His parents are missionaries there. They were born there. They're Muslim. They were born into a Muslim family. They're born again Christians now, and they're missionaries to their own families and to all across the country of Morocco and different parts of actually the world. It's been a blessing to get to know Walid and his family. Ian lived with us for the past 2 years. They're missionaries in Turkey. They are working in a town close to the Syria border with the Kurds. So really been a blessing to get to meet this family and to help them to be able to board their child, Ian. And Ian will be, I forgot to tell you, Walid is going to the university in England, United Kingdom. And Ian has been very blessed. He will be able to come to the U.S. and just pray for these two boys. Ian's going to Cedarville Christian College here in Ohio. We're not in Ohio. I'm confused. I've been traveling too much. But anyway, Ian's going to Cedarville Christian School in Ohio. And then I want to tell you about how other people that God's put into our lives. Pilar is a Christian friend, a Spanish friend that I've got to know. And I just want to let you know that I was able to share the gospel with her. Please pray for her because she needs your prayers. She's been raised in a Catholic home that she's really not Catholic. She just somewhat believes the Bible, but not really, but it's Bible. So just pray for Pilar. I was able to share with her personally the gospel. And then we have our good friend Haider that we've met. He is Muslim too, and he is from Iraq. And Haider and his family, we've got to meet his father and his brothers. And they're scattered all over. His one brother is working to become a pharmacist. He's in the country of Georgia. The other brother is in Egypt. And his father is still in Baghdad. We have a personal invitation to go to Baghdad. I'm not sure I'm going to go, but we do have a personal invitation. But Haider's been going to church with us. And it's nothing like having a Muslim sit with you and ask you what the Bible is, because he didn't even understand any of this. So just pray for Haider, that as he continues to attend church with us, hopefully that he'll be able to understand who the true living God truly is. And then I have another friend from Ukraine, and she is a beautician, and the Lord has opened the door for me to get to know her, and now she does my hair in her home. So when you think about, we're talking Turkish, Moroccan, Iraqi, Ukrainian, and Spanish. Isn't God opening the doors? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Just from someone that's just willing to go. I'm just amazed of how God is just blessing in those areas. Those are the people that I would like for you to think about and pray about, especially Ian and Walid as they start their college this fall. And I thank you again for just blessing us and being with us and standing with us. And we truly cover your prayers.
I, too, want to say thank you for what you do for us. we're there, but it's because of you that we are there. You know, you may think, well, I don't do a whole lot, or maybe I don't give a lot. You pray, you give, and you open your hearts to us, and therefore we're able to share with others. And Patty's told you some of our friends that we have been able to meet, and how that just two very common people have just listened to God's call and went, and now we've been able to meet and to share what we're doing with a lot of people. Patty told you what she does in the school. I am one of two. And any of you that do building maintenance or any kind of carpentry, plumbing, any of that sort of thing, you know what that involves. You know what it takes just to keep this building up. Well, we've got one. It's three or four times this size. It's actually four stories. It's got a basement with classrooms and then three floors above that. And with about 100 kids running the halls every day, there's a lot of painting, a lot of patching, a lot of things to do. Occasionally we knock out I haven't knocked out a wall, but walls have been knocked out, and I've had to patch up the holes and do the, not near as well as Tim can do, but I've done a lot of drywalling and finish work like that. And it's just knowing people and how they do it, I think, it's helped me figure it out. But I do that. I work outside. I do all the lawn mowing and the weed eating, and we've got a pretty large area. We do a lot of just, you name it, if it needs done, it's me and one other man. Also, I help with running errands with the school. I go buy many things for the school, and that's a challenge, not speaking the language very well, but it's fun. I also, because of your support, because of other people's support, we were able to buy a car, and I use the car continuously. I run to the airport, take teachers, students, visitors, volunteers. I take them to the airport, pick them up. Just whatever needs to be done, I'm there to do it. I'm glad to do it and glad to be able to do it. Patty told you about a project she's working on. I've also decided that since I'm an old man and getting old and tired and lazy, we need a little more equipment to work with there. I told you I mow the grass. It's with a push mower, it's a push mower. It's not self-propelled. I do a lot with a weed eater that was bought actually when I was there in 2002, and it's still operating thanks to my coworker. But we could use a tractor. And what we're looking for is, what we found is the best is a Kubota diesel engine with a four-wheel drive front-end loader and a backhoe. I know that sounds like we're asking for a lot, but if you've ever tried to dig in clay that hasn't had rain on it in 6 months and it's covered with rock, that's why I asked that. But I started this project about a year ago, just on my own, and the cost of the project is about $30,000, taking into the exchange rate of the dollar to the euro and the taxes. And so far, God has blessed us with about $12,000. But if you find any extra money laying around the house and you think, well, you know, I need a shovel, well, you just think how bad I need a tractor. But really, we're working on that. Just, you know, it's not anything that we have a deadline on, but I have the deadline. I don't have too many years of a strong back left. But I don't know how long God is going to bless us to be there. But it is a blessing to be your servants in Spain. We love what we're doing. We love being here in the States, but we miss Spain. Patty misses the coffee. But there's just a lot of good things about being there. But seeing God bless, seeing God work. And we were there in 2002 for 5 years. When we returned 2 years ago, there was not a church in the town that we live in. Today, the school building allows a local church to use that building, and we have a evangelical church working out of the school with about 150 people attending every Sunday. God is working throughout Spain. He's blessing. But there's still a lot of work to do. And we're just glad to be a part of it. We're glad that you're a part of it, and we just wanted to stop by and say thank you. If y'all have any questions after the service, we'd be glad to answer those for you. And thank you, Tim, for allowing us to come.
Amen. They're not just common folks. They're good. Very multi-talented. Good folks. Won't be receiving an offering for them this morning, but when you go out, there's a thing we're familiar with around here called a hallelujah handshake. If the Lord lays on your heart and you want to slip a piece of money in Doug's hand, we'll say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you find your place, if you would stand with me. We'll start reading verse number 8. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This morning, I want to share a message with you, and I'll be winging it. I have misplaced my notes, so by the help of the Lord, we'll get through it. But I want to share a message with you this morning that the Lord has laid on my heart that I just stopped by on my way home. It's an old song the Kingsmen used to sing, and we're just passing through. See, we've just stopped by. I've just stopped by Marbleton for, I don't been here 7 years, so, but I'm on my way home. And I've come, Lord's blessed me to come, and Doug and Patty stopped by on their way home. They've stopped by Madrid on their way home. And God's got there's something laid out way in front of us this morning. And if we don't know and we haven't anchored in and hadn't got our minds focused toward home yet, we're missing it. I'd hate for you to wake up and have missed that wonderful place that I'm talking about. As the book of Hebrews says, that it's whose maker, builder, and maker is God. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you, Father, for your blessings of life and your mercy and grace. And Father, I'm so thankful, God, for your touch upon us. And I ask you today that you would bless. Lord, did I ask you that you'd move in this midst. If there be one that don't know you today, this would be the day would call upon your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? He showed me where my notes was while we was praying. Amen. The book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible said that, for what saith the scripture, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The Bible tells us that
without faith, it is impossible to please God. Of course, we know Hebrews chapter 11 as the hero faith hall of fame and the heroes of faith. And we say, but Abraham is in this, and we know him as the father of faith. And I'm so glad that in the book of Galatians, I think it is, that it said that we are the children, the seed of Abraham, that believer to the household of faith, that we are of the family of Abraham. Do you remember when God promised Abraham, he said, he showed him and said, your seed shall be as the sand on the seashore. I believe that was Abraham's physical families. Then another time he said, your seed shall be as the stars in the sky. I'm convinced that was the spiritual family of God. That's every Christian that ever called upon the name of the Lord. I think I was one of those little stars that was sparkling. But thinking about God called Abraham, and Abraham said, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to get there. I don't know why I'm going, but I'll go. By faith, when God spoke to him, he started on a journey. And in our lives, that God moves upon us and calls us, we start out on a journey, and we have to do it in faith. It takes faith to get there. It takes faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I didn't know what I was doing when I called upon the name of the Lord. I just accepted it in faith and went on. And when I got to where I needed something, he gave it to me. By faith and moving on. And want you to notice in this passage, in this first verse, in verse 8, it said, by faith, Abraham, when he called to go into a place when he should receive for an inheritance. Would receive for an inheritance. I realized looking at this yesterday, and that really jumped out at me. He had an inheritance waiting on us. Folks, we got an inheritance waiting on us. We've got something far greater than we could ever imagine when we call upon the name of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, the Bible said, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christianity, and no matter what a lot of folks say, and there'll be a lot of people that would say would disagree with me, but we are not called into an occult. We're not called in to just a group. We're not called in. We're called in, as the Bible said, into a fellowship. We are called, and I like this fellowship. I like the unity and the love that is in this fellowship. But we are called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. The Bible even compares us as joint heirs with Christ, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we are brought into a fellowship. And I looked and I dug a little deeper to get into just really the meaning of this word. It means a partnership. It means a participation. See, we're not just called into this just to be snatched out of sin, which I'm sure glad of. We're not called just to go to heaven. We're called in to a fellowship to participate. It's not just a one-way side. It's not just what Jesus does. He allows us to come along with him and be part of this great work that we have. Doug and Patty shared, look at the nations that they're getting to have an influence on. Those kids that's in high school, and they're being able to teach them and train them, and they're going all around the world. That's the way God designs it. That's a partnership. That's a participation. And it's part of a communication. It's not much of a conversation if I do all the talking. There's not much conversation going on here. Amen? But when you can, communication and the conversation is when it goes back and forth. I thank God that I can break my petition, be made known. I can go to Him. I can share my heart with Him. I can open up and I can communicate. And He communicates with me through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. And it's a communication. It's a we talk. I communicate with the Lord. Aren't you glad of that this morning? If we had an old idol, we'd do all the talking and we'd just bow down to an idol. Boy, but I'm glad that when the Holy Spirit smooths right up and says, it'll be all right. See, we have a communion with God, with Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for that communion, but also in this partnership in 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. See, through this partnership, it brings power with it, empowering the believer. That is just power. The word used in this for power is the word dynamo or dunamis. Or we get the word dynamite. And a definition for power or force in the Strong's force is used. And what is dynamite? It's power for force. If you want something moved, just get you a stick of dynamite. Amen? If you want a stump moved, light you a stick of dynamite and run like crazy. It's powerful. It's a force. It's a moving force. Amen? I know with not much anymore, you get hauled off to jail if you carry dynamite around, but used to the farmers could go down at the hardware store or certain places and they could buy sticks, hay sticks, dynamite, and the caps and could blow stumps up back years ago. And a lot of folks could get permits and do that. And when you needed something moved, power is the rate at which energy is generated. The definition of power is to be able to direct or influence a course of events or the behavior of others. To have an effect on a course of events or the behavior of the others or of others. Through this dunamis power that's in our lives, God enables us and powers us and changes us for the trip home. We started out when we called upon His name and now the power to get us there. Now Doug was talking about needing a tractor. He's needing power. The old back and the shovel's not cutting it anymore. He needs some power. It's that power. It's that vehicle that gets you to war and gets the job done. That's what the Holy Spirit is. And it's not something real mystic and everybody just freaks out about when you say Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. It is the power that is enabled, embodied in us and empowers us to get the job done while we're here on earth. To get us the vehicle, you might say, to get the job done and completed and empowered to do what God's called to do. I tell you what, when Doug and Patty first met us, I guarantee you they never thought Tim Brose there'd be a preacher. No way, the Lord ain't going to call that one. But it's through the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit of God that will empower and enable us to do what it is. What is God calling you to do something? Is there something He's nagging you about and you say, I can't do that? Trust Him with it. Let Him have it. God, I don't see how I can do that, but if it's really your will, here it is. See what you can do. Amen. Praise the Lord. You might say, well, I hope He does a better job with me than He did with you. Well, I hope He does too. See, this Christian walk and the calling that we have, it's not just a change of mind. I'm afraid folks think they've changed. See, that's repentance. It's when you change your mind. John came through preaching the baptism of repentance. That's a change of mind of sin. Boy, I don't like living like this anymore. That's a change of mind. When the change came was on the day of Pentecost. There's the difference. It's not a change of mind. Well, I'm going to change it, and I'm going to change my habits, and I'm going to live better, and I'm going to set me a set of guidelines, and I'm going to read so many verses, and I'm going to go to church so many times, and I'm going to pay so much money, and I'm going to be a good person, and I'm going to wear the best clothes, and I'm going to look like a Christian, and I'm going to smell like a Christian. I'm going to act like a Christian. That's repentance. That's you're on the way. But it's that power that changes a life. It's that dynamite when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. Woo, that's what I'm talking about. There's a big difference. Peter said, I don't know this man. Second time, well, no, I don't know him. Third time, he even started cussing. But when the Holy Ghost moved in, He stood right up in front of thousands and said, this man whom you crucified is the Lord. Amen. And 3,000 people got saved. There's the difference in a mindset and the power of the Holy Ghost indwelling you. That's when you put your, that's throwing the shovel down and climbing on that Kubota tractor. Amen. Woo, that's the difference. There'd be a lot more dirt moved that way. See, this is an empowering. And you're going to have to come back tonight to get the rest of the message. You're just going to get the introduction pretty much. But on the way as we're traveling and we're going home, we got to get started. And we got to have the power to get us there. And then we got to have the wisdom that comes with it. In verse 24 also, it says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. See, this partnership brings the wisdom and shows us we know more about how to get there. The wisdom that comes from God. See, I know a little more than I did when I first got saved. It's through the knowledge of God. I know more, some of the mysteries, and a little deeper the doctrines in the Bible now than I used to. And see, when we allow God and we ask Him into our hearts and we commit our lives to Him, in this partnership we start understanding things like salvation. I never did really understand it till I got to be part of it. And this thing called salvation, we start understanding that. We start understanding the reason we need it. See, I've heard preachers say, and I believe it, we don't need to get people saved, we need to get them lost. Help me out there a little bit. We need to get them lost. We're living in a world today where everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's saved. I believe. The demons in hell believe too, but that don't make them go and go to heaven. We've got to realize that we need a Savior. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of Him. Everything that I could muster up and every bit of goodness and everything that I've ever been a virtue of God that I could muster up, I'll still go to hell. Amen? And see, we get to the wisdom, we start understanding the reason we need salvation. We used to not know what it meant to be forgiven. Boy, aren't you glad we start understanding forgiveness? That I'm dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking old sinner. But my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. I'm no longer accountable for them. How about you? Are you forgiven this morning? Then your sin's been scrubbed out. Jesus took care of the whole thing. You're set free. No longer bondage under it. Well, I'm in the wrong church this morning. Glory, hallelujah. We ought to get excited about being forgiven. I don't have to stand before God and give an account of everything I've done. Jesus took care of it for me. Amen. And wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now I want to share another one of those Christianese words with you. Then I start learning a little bit about how we get it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That'll get you to heaven. If you're here this morning, you ain't saved, that'll get you to heaven. Amen. You believe it, Jesus is Son of God. He left the splendors of glory, came into life through a virgin, born and raised a sinless life, laid His life down on the Calvary for your sins and my sins, and died, and arose the third day, and ascended into glory, and is coming back to get us. That's the gospel in a nutshell. If you believe that and you say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart," wham, there comes that dynamite power. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. And then justification. That means that I am made in right standings with God. When He looks upon me, all He can see is the blood of Jesus Christ. And He considers me perfect. Woo! Glory! He don't see my sin. He don't see how bad I am. He don't see how I act sometimes even today. All He can see is Christ's righteousness imputed upon me. Woo! Now that's wisdom. That's what God gives us and moves into us. And then the word sanctification. Say, "Preacher, you're throwing all them big words out there this morning." This is setting apart to be holy. Well, you just said we sinners. Yeah, but there's a thing called positional sanctification. When you're saved, you are positioned into the family of God as a child of God. Woo! I've made to be set apart, put in God's family for a specific reason, and I am now a child of the living God. That's positional sanctification. When you say, "Lord, forgive me my sins, come into my heart," you have now been placed into the family of God. Whew. I don't know about you, but I'm about to run and shout a little bit. Glory, hallelujah. And then there's another word in that, a progressive sanctification. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not put into the family to stay there. We're put in to grow. And we progress as we get in the Bible, as we pray, as we go to Bible studies, we get involved in the work of God, we get involved and we know more, we learn more, we grow more, and God uses us at a greater capacity. Woo! Isn't that good? In Hebrews 10:14, I thought I had it written down here, but I don't guess I do. Hebrews 10:14, though, tells us that we grow in our sanctification. We grow as believers, and we are being sanctified. Then the last and final one is the permanent sanctification or glorification. And I like this one in Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That is when we're glorified. That's when we put on our glorified bodies and we're made perfect. We're working toward that. And we're going through this process in this life. But one day we'll obtain perfection. Glory, hallelujah. I have all my hair and all my teeth in. I don't probably won't have this big belly. Amen. Ever how Jesus is, that's how I'm going to be. That's the hope that we've got as believers. See, we're just passing through. I just stopped by on my way home. Amen. We've just come through. I'm heading out of here. One day when that trumpet sounds, or if I go by the way of death, when it sounds, I'll come out of that grave end. Well, I'm going home. He's promised me. I've got the Holy Spirit in my life. And God's leading me, and I'm going to be glory one glorious day. Are you going with me? Do you know this morning, beyond any shadow of a doubt, are you just passing through? Or have you got your tent peg drove down too deep here? We'll give you an opportunity this morning to pull them pegs up and jump on, and let's head to glory. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessings of life and all your mercy and grace. God, we're so thankful for this thing of salvation. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that I can truly say in my heart that I've just stopped by on my way home. Lord, that we ask you, Father, to touch and bless in this time of invitation. We pray for the baptism here in a little bit. Lord, we just love you today and praise you. God, have your way. Minister to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and turn to page 176.
Will you come this morning? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Do you know that Jesus is your Savior? Will you come today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Preacher, I'm saved this morning, but I'm just not living the victorious life that I would like to live. There's a good place at the altar, and that dynamite power, God will give it to us to overcome whatever we need.
Whatever it is you're going through, whatever trouble that you're having, there's power in that blood. He can do everything. Will you come this morning as we sing another verse? Will you come? Aren't you glad for that power this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. If some has left that needs to go, but if you can stay, if you want to be seated, we'll get changed real quick, and we're going to baptize Chris here in just a moment. Then you'll be free to go. But if you be seated, I think Gary might sing you a song or two and let you sing with him.
Just keep that faithful, we'll do the last two verses.